Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. For cultural institutions like the Milwaukee Art Museum, the COVID-19 pandemic has been particularly painful. Like other groups, the museum closed its doors back in March and was forced to find alternative ways to engage with the community. Bridget Globenski, the Senior Director of Education and Programs at the museum, says this experience has been a crash course in digitizing their work, but one she thinks will ultimately make the museum stronger. Now, the Milwaukee Art Museum is set to reopen its doors this coming Thursday, July 16th, but with extra precautions. Globenski, along with Josh DePembrock, the museum's public relations officer, joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about this experience and the future of the museum.
When the pandemic first began, there were a lot of institutions, especially museums, that were scrambling to figure out how their in-person experience could be made available digitally, remotely. For the past few months, how have you been engaging with the community?
Well, I have to say, as head of education, we've talked about distant learning for years and years and years and never had the staff or the time to do it. And we got online in record time. We were able to do 360 tours of our galleries. We were able to really plumb the depths of our archives to do throwback things. We were able to do blogs. We were able to do so many different ways to connect with our community in serious ways and in very fun ways as well. I mean, one of the things that artist Reggie Baylor had done a coloring book that he allowed us to release a page at a time just to add some fun to the offerings that we made to our visitors who came to see us online.
In general, museums are so dependent on people coming in, seeing the exhibits, that really in-person experience. What was it like moving things online?
Well, it was whirlwind, I have to say that. But the other thing that we learned is at that time, especially in the beginning, people were really searching for some kind of outlet, for some kind of solace in just the chaos and the fear that was circulating. And I think that museums and cultural institutions did a great service to people to be able to offer so many resources online and so many resources for free. What we have found is that so many more people were able to access us online than they were in person even before COVID, so that we realized how much broader our reach could be. And as we begin to reopen and think about the future, it's a two-track system. It's really what we do on site and what we do online that will always complement each other. So that's been a big lesson for us over this time period.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you are planning to reopen the physical museum. What is that reopening going to look like? What are some of the precautions that you have to take?
I must say, the museum that we closed in March is not the museum we are opening this week to the public. There was a group of 25 or so staff that had been meeting since April to really get the museum ready. Everything from looking at all of our safety procedures, changing all of our air filters to hospital grade, doing deep cleans of the museum, really looking at the entire process so it can be truly touchless. We laugh and say we've been touchless since 1888 because you could never touch the art, but we're really taking that to the next level so that you can come to the museum and experience it literally without touching anything. We have asked people to remember the basics. First of all, you have to go online and register for your time ticket. The museum is free the first month, thanks to the Cry family in memory of Melinda. And that was really our opportunity to welcome back the whole community, especially our frontline workers and essential workers. So we were so grateful to the Cry family for allowing us to make that offer. But you still have to register. And in that way, we keep the numbers of people coming to the museum low, so it's never a crowded situation. We ask people to read a code of conduct that they agree to before they register for their ticket. And in that, we asked people to remember the basics, that you have to wear a mask when you come to the museum, and all staff will be masked as well. We asked people to use hand sanitizer as they enter the museum and as they leave the museum. For this first phased opening, we have a one-way track through the main level of the museum. So we asked people good-naturedly to go with the flow, to keep a social distance, to really be kind. We are all trying to figure this out together. And so far, we had a soft opening, and the response was quite good. So we're pleased with how that has rolled out and pleased about all the ways the museum, from the store to the coffee shop to entering the museum, has made it really a touchless experience.
I think, too, it's really showcased how fantastic our staff is and being able to change so quickly. Because when you think of museums, it's such a big ship to turn. Like, things move slowly, usually at a museum. Sometimes the curators are working on exhibitions 3, 4, 5 years in advance. And when we closed our doors on March 15, I believe that was, I think on March 17 was the shift when we started putting our content online and started that task force, you know, a few weeks later and began brainstorming and create. None of this stuff existed before, so we had to figure out what needs to be in place to make the museum safe for our staff and our visitors. And it's all within a few months. And I think that's just a great testament to our staff of being able to adjust quickly in these, you know, changing times and be really nimble. So I think it's really, really been fantastic.
Well, and with that flexibility in mind, we have a lot of places that are reopening right now, but as you know, I'm sure, COVID-19 numbers are beginning to spike once again. If you have to close the museum again, what to you is the line? When is the point that you've figured out for yourselves where you go, okay, well, we have to close the museum down. We can't have the physical space open any longer.
We have a rapid response team and this reopening team that is always looking at what the city is recommending, what the CDC is recommending, and our decisions are really based on that. So we take our cue from the medical community and from the city in terms of how we continue our phased opening or step back from our phased opening.
If you find out that, you know, say a patron has contracted COVID-19, they were just there, or an employee now has tested positive, what's the plan to respond to that?
We do have a rapid response team. One of the great things about registering for a ticket is that we know we have people's emails and we're able to contact them. So we have asked people, part of the code of conduct is if you are sick, to notify the museum so that we can identify other patrons who may have been there at the same time, the same with staff as well. So we have a process in place for tracking, and once someone is tested and identifies as someone who has COVID-19.
Okay. If you do have to close again, which could be a possibility, is the plan to just go virtual once again?
I think like the virtual content that we're providing will always be a part of, you know, what we're offering to the community. So we've built a really robust section on our website that'll continue to be robust. If we have to, you know, if we need to fall back on that occasionally, we'll, you know, try to strengthen that and focus on that as much as possible. But I think, you know, it's going to be kind of an integrated approach in the future where we're going to have, you know, in-person people in the museum and then have things supplemented with this, you know, new content that we've been creating and things that we've learned. You know, we've learned so much about 360 tours. The other thing that we've learned so much about too is the analytics that, you know, providing this content provides us, where, you know, we can see better and get a better sense of what people are interested in, what they're not interested in, what they're looking for. Is it hands-on activities? Is it 360 tours? And it really allows us to continue to keep growing our audience. We found, you know, in those first months that we began providing the content, that a large portion of people to our website were those who hadn't visited in months or a year beforehand. So, you know, we can reach younger audiences, we can reach new audiences. And so we'll just, you know, if necessary, we'll keep, you know, growing that if it comes to that.
I think also it's important to realize that we will not be having programs at the museum probably this first year. So all of our school programs, for example, have gone online. We have a studio at home that we have for families who want to do artwork at home. Our Family Sundays are broadcast from the museum, but will be virtual as well. And programs for exhibitions when we open in phase two, adult programs will also be virtual. So we are moving into a virtual and on-site experience, both being robust. But especially our programming this year will all be virtual.
All righty. Well, I'm sure people are excited at the prospect of getting to see the museum once again in person.
I have to say, it's the most exciting thing to walk into Wendover Hall. And the other thing is, during this pandemic, we finished some projects that were started last year. And one of them was refinishing the floors of the Quadracci Pavilion, Wendover Hall, which when the museum opened, when that building opened, they were sort of this watery, high-gloss finish. And it's back again, and it is spectacular. So everything from the moment of walking into Wendover Hall to looking at the collection and seeing old favorites, it is really a delight to be back in that building. So I encourage everyone to come back. We've made it incredibly safe. And I think you'll be really comfortable and really surprised at some of the new works that we've brought out, some of the works from upstairs we've brought to the main floor to really think about the art in very different ways. So welcome back, everyone. Come. I think you'll be excited.
Yeah. Well, Bridget, Josh, thank you both so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you.
Bridget Globenski is the Senior Director of Education and Programs at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and Josh DePembrock is the museum's Public Relations Officer. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about the museum's plan to reopen its physical space this Thursday, July 16th.